They came without warning, a never-ending tide of the undead. Civilizations fell screaming beneath decaying claws and the chorus of hungry moans. But in the wake of the Great Panic, we stayed. We survived, and we're gonna take back our home, one day at a time, in Syracuse. Mouthwash, by Talon J. Larm. Do you know the only thing that smells worse than the undead? Untreated halitosis. Yeah, I'm serious. Just think about it. All those people crammed into Syracuse Central like cattle. Everyone scrambling to meet their chore quota, getting ready to cash in their ration tokens. Or worse, just sitting there, rocking back and forth, muttering to themselves. 1,000 so-called survivors penned in a singular location, and only a handful of them have seen the business end of a toothbrush in the past 6 months. Let me tell you something. Scraping the dried crap off your teeth with whatever you can find is about as effective as trying to clear a foot of central New York snow from the sidewalk by breathing really hard. I know it sounds like a small price to pay for surviving the plague, the hordes of undead coming through the state, and the chaos of people going loony with the craziness of it all, but I just can't stand the stink anymore. Zombie wants to eat my brains? No sweat. Give me a blunt object and room to swing, and I'll be fine. Looters want to break into Syracuse Central and steal our food? Just point the core at them and stand back. Everything will work itself out in the end. Force me to have an extended conversation with someone with rancid, rotten meat breath, and I'm no better than one of the weepers who snapped when they saw Zack coming. I first noticed the stench on a patrol. The Corpse Corps made the sweeps, push into an area, clear out Zack, then flag the area for gathering crews. Nowadays, we look more for scrap than tools or food. It really brings into contrast how pathetic this place has become. That day, the streets were barren, with a few staggering exceptions. We solved those issues as they arose, one bullet at a time. Just past midday, we found some piles of scrap iron metal layered up between a pair of dilapidated shops, their shattered glass windows still advertising the remnants of an Irish bargain party in peeling green paint. Somehow, I don't think the luck of the Irish applies anymore, Tina said wryly. No one laughed. But then again, I don't think Tina intended to be funny. She hefted her rifle and spat in disgust. Tina had been a kindergarten teacher before the plague, all chipper with her hugs, dresses, and holiday-themed sweaters. Now she wore the jackets and fatigues of the Corps. She traded in her chalk for something with a little more kick of the bolt-action variety. No one teased her about this. No one teased her about anything. That woman had a hardcore attitude and the firearm to back it up. Chuck and I guarded the rumbler while Peter and Tina started checking the pile of scrap. The metal ground harsh in the empty streets, louder than the ghosts of children playing on the corner. The noise was sure to draw some undead from the shadows, so Chuck and I started circling the rumbler, looking for the awkward, stumbling figures in the harsh summer sunlight. The zombie count had been low for the past few weeks, though never much lower than guarded on the grayscale. One zombie for every 100 citizens. We weren't expecting much. It's funny that even after all that time, we could still be caught off guard. Chuck and I were drawn to the sound of something coming from between the burned husk of a pair of houses. It's not the kind of sound you can mistake for anything else. That dry, gagging groan still makes my blood shiver. The figure that slumped into view had been some kind of clerk from the looks of him. He still wore a name tag on a tattered short-sleeved dress shirt. It came down the street spasmatically, its limbs dragging and knock-kneed. Even from 200 feet you could see the hands clawing in our direction, eager for living flesh. Its eyes were sunk so far into its head that you could barely see the white film. The ghoul never got within 100 feet. Chuck called out dibs faster than I could. The shot followed shortly, and I watched Zack's head explode like a dry balloon filled with ash and dust. The body shuddered for about 4 seconds before the muscles finally gave out, and the corpse collapsed for the last time. Requiescat in pace. Chuck was fond of that phrase. I thought it was distinctly morbid type of humor. We jumped as Tina dropped a heavy steel pipe into the back of the Rumbler. She sneered at us in a way that would make anyone want to crawl under a rock. Ladies, if you're quite done... She hefted a rifle and backed away from the truck, circling her free hand. There's a lookout to be kept? Yeah. I shrugged and started my rounds again. Tina watched for a few seconds before we heard the crash of metal from between the stores, followed by Peter swearing. Tina spun toward the shop and Chuck came round from the other side of the Rumbler to check everything out. The pile of scrap had been put up as a barrier. That much was easy to see. Makeshift walls were common after the first waves. People tried holing up in case the whole Z-word thing would ever blow over. It never did. Peter happened to be pulling on a piece of steel pipe when he upended the whole darn thing. About 400 pounds of metal came tumbling down on top of him, burying his large frame from the torso down in a rusty steel death trap. "I'm all right," he called, his voice echoing long between the buildings. He was pinned face down, so all he could do was lift his head to look at us. For a split second, he looked hilarious. Even Tina almost started laughing. Almost. Then she noticed the shape turning the corner further down the alley. The moan. The gleam of pale, hungry eyes, and the stink of rotting meat. Peter saw the look in Tina's eyes, and his face went pale. "Oh, God," he said. There was more than one. Tina charged the alley with her rifle already lifted to her shoulder. The bullet caught the first zombie in the eye and sent it spinning down in front of the others. They didn't pause over their fallen. They just kept pushing forward. Chuck ran to the driver's side and threw himself into the seat, twisting the key and sending the Rumbler roaring to life. "Tina!" I shouted, running forward with my own rifle raised. Another shot, another zombie down. Tina started pulling on Peter frantically, tearing her fingers open as she clawed at the rusty metal. Peter fought to twist around, his hands fumbling for the pistol at his hip. I kept firing, sliding into that easy trance that comes when you're taking down zombies. Aim, fire, bolt. Aim, fire. Rinse and repeat. The fear was twisting in my gut as I realized that a whole pack was staggering into view from the distant dusty corner. "Come on!" Chuck shouted from the driver's seat. I tried to help Tina, but the metal was too twisted and rusted to be cleared. Pulling on Peter only seemed to wedge him tighter. Tina paused to drop a few advancing zombies before stooping to pull again on the rusty steel. She quickly devolved into hysterics, the dust on her face rinsed away in twisting rivulets from the corners of her eyes. The pack was closer now, 30 feet max. The smell was terrible, a choking, gut-stabbing stench that made me dry heave right there. "Guys, now!" Chuck called one more time. "Tina." This time it was Peter talking. I stood again to fire at the advancing undead. I knew what he was going to say, but Tina was the one who needed to hear it. "Don't you even think about it," she warned. But Peter didn't listen. 20 feet away, you could see their jagged, rotting teeth gnashing gleefully at the air. "You need to go," he grunted, and finally got his pistol out from the holster. No, she sobbed. I'd never seen Tina sob. I don't think anyone ever had. 15 feet. The stink was worse now. There were at least 100 of them, all surging forward with eager hands and slack mouths. "Get out of here, man." Peter was talking to me this time. I didn't need an excuse. "Sorry," I said to him lamely, and I grabbed Tina by the arm. She fought me weakly, but I was able to pull her back from the alley. Peter tossed the clip from his empty pistol at me. "I kept one. Now go." Tina wailed as I dragged her to the idling Rumbler. No sooner had I dragged the door shut than Chuck peeled away in a sudden cloud of smoking rubber. We didn't look back, but we heard the single, lonely gunshot. I was screaming inside my head. It was so loud it hurt. And then everything in my head went dead quiet with a sickening snap that set my teeth on edge. Tina's eyes dried, but she kept twisting the gold ring on her finger while she chewed her lips bloody. She stared out the window silently. As he maneuvered the Rumbler through the trash-littered streets of Syracuse, Chuck bit his already raw, bleeding fingertips. I couldn't shake the smell. "What stinks so much in here?" I asked quietly. No one answered, but the smell was so strong I twisted around to check the back. As I leaned over the seat, my pack slammed into Tina's shoulder. "Watch it, moron!" she snapped, and I gagged on the smell that came from her mouth. I quickly covered my nose and fell back into my seat. "Just chill, guys," said Chuck, and a fresh wave of toxic fumes came washing over me. My eyes started to water. The smell from their mouths came stomping into my world and wouldn't leave, no matter how I tried to distract myself. I pulled my shirt up over my nose, and we rode the rest of the way in dead silence. Behind us, the sun painted the sky with orange fire. It still smelled terrible. And Syracuse Central was worse. The airport was never meant to act as a permanent residence. But that's where we all crammed in night after night, hovel sweet hovel. God knows how many people fit in there, and most of them toothbrush-free for the better part of a year. I felt sick the second I stepped out of the Rumbler and onto the concrete landing area. Clipboard met us at the bay door, list in hand. He didn't need to ask what happened when he saw our faces. He just made a note on his board and called for some folks to tend the Rumbler. My stomach threatened to rebel with every passing person. "Clipboard," I called from a few feet away. "I don't suppose we have any mouthwash kicking around here, do we?" I kept my shirt pulled up over my face, and Clipboard looked at me like I had two heads. When he opened his mouth to answer, I had to take a step back. "Scope's pretty low on the priority list at the moment, man." He laughed, and I fought to keep my gorge down. I could even see the little bits of decay and scum clinging to his yellowed enamel. "I haven't seen mouthwash in a long time. What?" I didn't hear the rest of his question. I had to get outside. The fenced clearing area in the back was awash in the summer wind, and for the first time in an hour I was able to draw a single, solid breath. I sat in the high grass and stared up at the sky. The sound of the wind and the high weeds rustling in a hushed chorus drowned out the whispers that kept ringing in my ears just beyond the veil of hearing. I started laughing, and images of a zombified Pete flicked past my brain. It was so, so funny. There he was, a towering undead cretin with the most perfect row of pearly whites. His moans were a wave of spearmint, and I gladly let him come, uncaring as his zombie hands began to pull my flesh from my bones. I woke up with a start in the middle of the night, beneath the cloud-shaded stars. I sat up and held my aching head in my hand. Each faint whisper throbbed painfully. Then I smelled something terrible. "You all right?" It was Chuck, literally foul-mouthed Chuck. I opened my mouth to answer him, but my insides chose that moment to make a run for it. "Jeez," Chuck said, backing away from the spreading pool of vomit. "I'll get a doc." My head continued to pulse in painful rhythm. I could see the flashes of light exploding in the corners of my vision, and my nose was clogged with the stench of breath. Every heartbeat pounded my head with a steel hammer, and I could feel my eyes roll back into my head before I slipped into unconsciousness. The last thing I heard was those faint whispers from the dark corners of my mind. The next week was pure medicinal torture. I was pent up in the med wing with makeshift nurses checking my vitals every few minutes. I was hooked to an IV, and regular shots of medicine were pumped through plastic tubes into my waiting veins. All this attention and all this salvaged equipment, and not even the med staff could find the means to fix their breath. Every time they came close, I cringed and wept. Each question stabbed at my stomach with a violent urge to puke. Faint whispers had become more clear, and they kept pointing out the bits of food and plaque visible in every false yellow-green smile. No wonder plaque rhymes with Zack. I didn't realize at first that I was talking back to those slithering noises in my head, but the staff of the med wing did. It was all too soon before a counselor sat down beside me with a plastic grin and cold dead eyes. She tried to talk to me about the whispers, but I couldn't concentrate on her questions. Hers was a unique stink, the smell of mold and month-old pasta primavera. I realized something that very night. I wasn't getting out of here unless I pretended not to smell them anymore. Heaven forbid, someone actually pointed out the utter collapse of oral hygiene in the zone. Oh no, I was sure that was why they wouldn't let me out of the wing. I lay there that night preparing, flexing my face muscles so they would not betray me. It was a perfect performance. I was able to keep it up long enough to be released back into population, back into the cloud of filth belching from their greasy throats and petri dish tongues. I immediately requested outside work, and out of pity, clipboard obliged. Most of the time, I was able to stomach it out there where the wind blew. Lack of manpower eventually led to my restoration in the Corps. The whispers were right. The others didn't want me to go along, but I was anxious for the opportunity to get away from Central for just a few hours. I didn't mind. It would mean time spent in the open air. I put on my acting face and was normal as could be. What did you say? It was Chuck, shouldering his rifle. He looked at me cautiously. I didn't realize I'd been talking out loud. I'm just saying a prayer. That would shut Chuck up. Tina had retired from the Corps and joined the education department. I wonder if she found her old holiday sweaters. It was almost Memorial Day. Instead, we were going out with a pair of twins, Calvin and Kevin. They had matching initials, matching mustaches, and matching rank mouths. It was about as unusual not to have a woman on the team as it was to have one extra man, but I didn't bother asking Clipboard about these changes. Honestly, it didn't matter that much to me. "Let's get a move on," I said. "Time's wasting." Everyone nodded, and within a few minutes we were on the road. The insides of the rumble were like a halitosis gas chamber. I rolled down the window and stuck my head out to drink in the fresh air. We drove through the skeletal remains of the city, clawing up from the ground on either side, their insides splayed open by fire or storm. We didn't see many zombies, just a single, here and there. We'd pause long enough to fire off a shot before heading back on down Salina Street. About halfway through the drive, we passed the spot where Peter had died. I saw the pile of metal had been pulled away, probably while I was in the med wing. I could still see the Irish Bargain Party paint that peeled away from the shattered glass, and I chuckled. Then I noticed what the other store window had said. Grocery. The interior looked fairly intact. "Hey, stop here for a second," I called to Chuck. He passed a series of looks between the twins, but ultimately stopped. The whispers grew louder now, frenzied and high-pitched. When I looked down that alley, I swore I saw something shamble around the corner. A second look, and it was gone. I didn't mention this to the others. "What are we here for?" asked Chuck in a voice thick with doubt. I just want to check something," I answered. "Pay some last respects for Pete." I must have sounded funny talking with my nose plugged, but the others didn't say anything. Carefully, I stepped out of the rumbler and hefted my rifle. I walked slowly over to the maw of the alley in front of me. The whispers were so fast now that they blended into static white noise. For some strange reason, the stench of breath was still strong. The concrete was stained brown, as were parts of the walls. The metal had been cleared away, and now the alley stretched far back, fully clear of debris. From the corner of my eyes, I spied the smoked glass of the next-door market. The shelves were down, but there was still a scattering of loose product littering the tiles. Nothing moved in the shadow-streaked interior. "You all right, man?" Chuck was calling from the rumbler, and the twins were on that familiar circling patrol pattern. I dismissed his concern with a nod of my head. I couldn't really hear Chuck through the whispers anyway. I pressed my face to the glass and wrenched my gaze over the dusty insides. The sunlight fingered deep into the darkness of the store with long lances of yellow. I kept staring, and the whispers pounded my head. "Dibs!" A gunshot followed. I turned around to see the twins drop a zombie from 50 feet away. It had come from the garage, kitty-corner to the shops. "More of them!" The pepper of gunshots started to ring through the echoes of my ear. I cocked my rifle and stood to add my bullets to the barrage. Then I saw it, gleaming, blue and silver. The whispers even stopped for a second. Listerine. Sweet, blessed manna from heaven, Listerfricarine. It lay in the corner of the store under a fallen display for deodorant or anti-foot fungal cream, just at the tip of a gentle finger of golden light. The whispers started screaming. Without even pausing, I shattered the window with the butt of my rifle. I ignored the slivers of pain where the glass sliced my flesh, and I kicked the edge clear. I was stepping over the threshold when one of the twins grabbed my arm. "What are you doing?" His shout was barely audible over the din in my head. His breath was so rancid. How dare he assault me with that reek? There were more gunshots from the rumbler, and several shouts of, "Hurry up!" Come on, man, there's a whole pack of them. We need to clear out. The twin, whichever one he was, pulled on my arm again. I yanked back with all my strength. No! Let go! He didn't. We struggled for a second, shouting at each other over the chorus of gunshots, zombie groans, and a storm of whispers. The twin punched me in the face and my head exploded, the voices screaming and frothing in a rage as I fell backward into the darkness of the store. Now, man, shake out of it! He reached down and pulled me up and out. The mouthwash was only a few feet away. Salvation in spearmint. I lifted my rifle without really aiming. The twin's eyes widened for a split second before he backed away. I pulled the trigger, and he spun like a top, a thin tendril of blood flying from his shoulder. There were more shouts, but I couldn't hear him. The twin staggered away from the store with wide eyes and a hand pressed to his bleeding arm. You're crazy, man! One last wave of vomit-scented words. I sneered. Your breath stinks. I aimed more carefully this time. Now back off! His eyes narrowed with realization as he saw the bottle just behind me. Mouthwash? You shot me over mouthwash? Man, Zach's gonna use your brains for mouthwash! The twin retrieved his rifle and fled back to the car, leaving a trail of blood on the faded gray asphalt. As he retreated, I reached down and pulled down the metal grate over the window and door. The whispers tried to rush me, but I took my time, laughing the whole time. The lock was rusty but functional, certainly enough to keep Zach out. I didn't even register that the rumbler had peeled away. I vaguely heard Chuck arguing with the twins as they sped off. There was a moment of silence before the zombies realized that I was still there. I risked a glance and saw them standing there, staring at me with their dead eyes. Slowly, they began to shuffle my way. Ha! Tough luck, Zach! I screamed, and pushed my way back into the store. I cleared away the dusty garbage and reached down with a trembling hand into the beam of light. I was almost afraid to touch it. I had the distinct fear that it would vanish. The roaring in my head died to a whimper as my fingers curled around the bottle. I put my gun down and tore off the wrapper, twisting free the lid with a growing fury. The smell was divine. Then I heard the sound of zombies. Not from beyond the grate where they reached and pushed against the metal bars in a huge undead chorus, but from the back doors that swung in from the stock area. The groans were audible within a few seconds. I winced as I set the mouthwash down on the ground. I ran to the back and saw shadows shifting slowly towards the door, the swinging, lockless door. The whispers began to weep, but I ignored them as I grabbed a heavy shelf unit, still scattered with decomposing boxes of Cheerios. I pulled until I felt muscles tear in protest, but the metal moved. I screamed as I dragged it across the entryway and shoved it flush to the rubberized door as a single, decaying hand tried to push the portals open. There was a dry crackling noise as the necrotic limb was crushed between the two doors. The fingers continued to claw at the air comically. I backed away, laughing at the same time I wept. Zombies here, zombies there, zombies everywhere, I sang maniacally. The whispers were strangely silent as I shifted through the shadows and beams of pinking light. All around me the air was thick with Zach's scent. My muscles burned like fire as I slumped down against the wall. I dragged my gun in my lap and with shaking hands lifted the bottle of mouthwash. All around me was the cacophony of zombies gasping and moaning as they fought to get in. The din was so loud that I thought my ears would bleed. I laughed anyway. I laughed so hard I could barely hear the encroaching dead. I roared so I couldn't hear the whispers in my head. I was still laughing when I poured the sweet spearmint fluid into my dry mouth. I gleefully let it bubble down my chin as I cackled. My nose was awash with the scent of mint and sugar at the same time my taste buds exploded in unchecked pleasure. Outside, the hordes pushed, groaned, and grasped. The metal whined in protest. The door frames cracked. Cackling, with tears streaming from my eyes, I gargled. Oh yes, I gargled.